There was a guide at Blarney Castle in Ireland, and he bemoaned that his job was not always fun because a lot of times he had grumpy tourists on his hands. He said, some of these people complain about everything, the weather, the food, the hotel, the prices, you name it. One day, when he and a group of tourists had arrived at the castle, they found that the area around the Blarney Stone was roped off. Workmen were making some kind of repairs on it. And some lady who was the ringleader of the complainers exclaimed, "This is the last straw. I have come all this way, and now I can't even kiss the Blarney Stone." "Well, you know," the guide said, "according to legend, if you kiss someone who has kissed the stone, it's the same thing as kissing the stone itself." And she says, "Well, I suppose you've kissed the stone." So he turned his backside to her and said, "I've sat on it." I'm sure we've all had complainers in our lives who we would like to tell to kiss a certain body part too. Complaining, we're all guilty of it. The average person complains at least 15 times a day. The truth is, we are complainers to one degree or another. Complaining is a lot more than just mentioning the facts or stating how you feel about the facts. Complaining is a constant verbal assault of negativity. We usually have our pet complaints. Now, I complain about a lot of things, but the number one thing I complain about is cold. Look, I was born in California. I think some of that warm air got into my system and I can't get rid of it. I don't like cold weather. And the second thing I complain about is snow. Snow is a four-letter word at our house. I didn't see snow till we moved to Illinois. I had no idea what it looked like. I liked it at first, but now I don't. One of our kids was a chronic complainer. I won't mention his name, but it does start with the letter Z. He complained about this, that, and the other thing. This one particular child has given me a glimpse into what God must go through with us. I sometimes wonder how fed up God must be with our negativity and complaining. We want this, we want that. And then when we get it, we want something else. You might be wondering why I'm talking about complaining when Thanksgiving is this week. Well, I am talking about Thanksgiving in a roundabout way. What I am trying to do is expose a Thanksgiving killer. Complaining is a fire extinguisher to thankfulness. The Holy Bible has a lot to say about complaining, cover to cover. Some of the most dramatic illustrations of the devastating effects of complaining can be found in the biography of Moses. Moses was the leader of a people who started off with courage and a dream. They miraculously fled from Pharaoh's army and set off into the vast unknown. These would be people who could have achieved great things. Instead, they wandered around and around, complaining and complaining. "We want more food. We want more spice on our food. How about just an onion or a measly olive? We want more meat. We're thirsty. We're hungry." The people finally said this: "We wish that the Lord had killed us in Egypt. There we could at least sit down and eat meat and as much food as we wanted. But you have brought us into the desert to starve us to death." So Moses tells the people, when you complain against us, you are really complaining against the Lord. Complaining, on the face of it, might seem to be an innocent pastime. It isn't as innocent as we think. It's an affront against God. Someone described complaining as shooting arrows into the sky, hoping that you're going to hit God with one. But what happens is those arrows come raining back down upon us. Complaining can determine our attitudes. You want to hate your in-laws? Complain about them every day. Complain about your Budinsky mother-in-law. Complain about your boorish father-in-law. Complain about your idiot brothers and sisters-in-law. Complain about having to spend Thanksgiving with them. Complain about last year's dopey Christmas present from them. Complain about the fact that they don't like you. Wonder why. Complain that they don't do it the way your family does it, which, by the way, is the right way. Put all of this into practice, and I guarantee you it won't be long until you hate your in-laws. Complaining can make your life miserable. Complain about everything, and I do mean everything. complain about your inattentive husband or wife, complain about the way they drive, about the way they chew, complain about your ungrateful children, complain about the way they leave their socks and underpants all over their room, complain about your weight, complain about the way people chew gum, complain about your lack of hair, Jim. Just start complaining every day as much as possible, and you can achieve ultimate misery. When you do this, you can get a real bang for your buck, because not only will you be miserable, but you get to make everybody else miserable too. It's incredibly easy to get into a pattern of complaining. Once a man joined a monastery, he had a lifelong dream to become a monk. The day he entered the monastery, the head monk told him that in this particular monastery, the monks were only allowed to say two words every year. The new monk was shown his room, and for the next year, he didn't say a word. At the end of his first year, the head monk called him in for his annual two words. The new monk said, "Food's bad." The new monk went back to his room and was completely silent for another year. At the end of the second year, the new monk was taken to the head monk to say this year's new two words. This time he said, "Bed's hard." The new monk went back to his room and said nothing for another year. After that, the new monk was brought before the head monk for his annual two-year allotment. He said, "I quit." And the head monk said, "Well, it doesn't surprise me at all. All you've done since you've gotten here is complain." Here's what the Holy Bible says about complaining. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. "Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Chronic complainers are like the warped and crooked world around them. They do not reflect God's glory. They are not a proper testimony of the goodness of God. Complaining displeases God. In Numbers 11:1, we read, "Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then the fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp." Complaints are word pictures of what we truly believe about God. We say that we believe God is our helper, but then we complain about the way in which he is helping us, because the way in which he's helping us isn't good enough. If we do a quick study of the Old Testament, we see that complaining really ticked God off. And why is it that complaining really got God's goat? It's because complaining says God isn't good enough, he isn't big enough, and he certainly isn't caring enough. Ultimately, complaining challenges God's authority. Numbers 12, verses 1 through 8, is a perfect case study of this. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" What biblical scholars believe, including me, is the Cushite woman referred to here is Moses' second wife. His first wife, Zipporah, was a Midianite. Cushites are not Midianites, but rather Ethiopians. So what I am trying to tell you is Moses' second wife was black. Miriam and Aaron's issue with the Cushite woman was a smokescreen They don't care that she's black. They don't care that she's not a Jew. What they're really complaining about is who God put in charge. Well, God put Moses and not them in charge, and that really got their goat. Aaron is a priest and Miriam is a prophet. Of all the people in the camp, they should be the last ones to complain. They should be setting the example. Instead, their growing jealousy of Moses' position and influence fueled their complaints. Since they could not find fault with the way Moses was leading the people, they went for another issue, his wife. Rather than face the problem squarely by dealing with their envy and pride, they chose to create a diversion from their real problem. God, however, was not pleased with this complaint, and they were punished. According to the author of Happy Hour is 9 to 5, complaining makes things look worse than they are, and it soon becomes a habit. It tends to be self-prophetic. What we focus on tends to be what we get. It makes people despondent. It kills innovation and creativity. And it also favors negative people. It promotes bad relationships and suspicion. Complaining has never really helped anybody in the long run. Complaining shows a lack of willingness to do anything about a problem yourself. When we complain about something to someone else, what we're really doing is asking them to solve our problems. When we first came to the church about 20 years ago, there was a lot of problems in the building, and if there was a loose toilet seat in the ladies' room or a wasp's nest in the nursery window, I would point these things out to Andre, because I had no intention of fixing these things myself. I wanted Andre to solve my problems for me. And thank the Lord, he did. Complaining has never really changed anything. Prayer changes things, but complaining doesn't. I think it's really curious how we would rather complain than pray. In all honesty, I usually complain first and then pray later, if at all. So often I complain longer and harder than I pray. I hope and pray this Thanksgiving season God will help me change this in my own life. Here's a common thread in all complainers and complaints. Thankfulness is absent. Have you ever met a joyful or a thankful complainer? People who moan and complain all the time are generally not joyful or thankful. It is not possible to be thankful and complain at the same time. In the same way, I can't play my flute and sing at the same time. We can't be thankful and complain at the same time. To change a complaining spirit, we need to incorporate thankfulness into our lives. Instead of zeroing in on all the negative and all the bad, we need to train ourselves to see the good things, to see things with a thankful lens. Instead of complaining, we need to learn to give thanks in all circumstances we find ourselves in, as 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Please note that this does not say to give thanks for every circumstances, but to be thankful in every circumstance. It's a small prepositional difference, but it is an enormous definitional difference. The opposite of living a life of a complainer is living a life of contentment. Philippians 4:11 through 13, Paul says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The Apostle Paul learned to be content in prison or out of prison. He learned to be content whether he had money in his wallet or not. He learned to be content whether he had a full stomach. Even the great Apostle Paul had to learn contentment. It's not natural for humans to be content. We're usually very fussy people. But the key to learning contentment comes in Paul's words, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. To achieve contentment, Paul needed the strength of Jesus Christ. What would it take to make you content. I've heard this throughout my ministry. When I get married, then I'll be content. When I get unmarried, then I'll be content. When I have kids, I'll be content. When the kids leave home, then I'll be content. You're as content as you choose to be. Contentment isn't getting whatever you want. Contentment is enjoying what God has already blessed you with. It seems that there are people who are born to complain about all the mistakes and weaknesses of the world. It's their spiritual gift. Psychology Today defines these folks as people who haven't done the hard work of developing a loving, compassionate, mature adult self. The magazine goes on to state that complainers are operating as wounded children in need of love, attention, and compassion. And complaining is the way in which they've learned to get their needs met. They think it's their God-given role in life to point out every shortcoming, every failing, every foible they can find. If the waitress doesn't serve the table just right, it's their job to complain. If the kid bagging their groceries has purple hair, it's their job to complain. If a man wears sandals and white tube socks to church, it's their job to complain. I think we need to try to walk through this world making it a little bit better, don't you? Instead of complaining that the waitress didn't bring the ketchup in 3 seconds flat, thank her when she does come back with it and appreciate her for how busy she is. Instead of complaining about the kid with purple hair, thank him for not putting the cans on top of the bread. Instead of complaining about the man with the odd sandal sock combo, thank him for coming to church in the first place. For those of us who struggle with complaining, Thanksgiving is a great time for us to look at it. Really take a look at ourselves and evaluate the damage that our complaining does. There is a remedy, and that remedy is thankfulness. Be thankful, my friends, for God is good. He loves us, and he has promised to be with us to the end of the age. It just can't get any better than that, can it?